Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, everyone. Happy Monday night here on the Wolverine.com YouTube channel if you're watching live or after the fact, if you're in the audio feed, watching on the website, whatever it is, we are back with you fully staffed, I think mostly healthy. Thanks to everyone for sticking through last week with a little bit of a flu thing going on with me. But Anthony Broom here with Chris Ballas and Clayton Safey. We have a lot to discuss within the span of an hour on Friday. It seemed like Sherrone Moore's coaching staff was set. Then an hour later, we get news on Mike Hart. We'll discuss both of those things. We will also chat Juwan Howard, Michigan Hoops, ending their regular season at 8-23. Still have at least one game to go with the Big Ten tournament on Wednesday. We'll get to that. And then we will take your questions at the end like we do every week. So, fellas, welcome back.
Can't wait to watch this basketball team one more time, man. Let's go. Right, Clay?
Five more times.
Yeah, I love the Big Ten tournament. I'm excited just overall. But yeah, Michigan probably just one game left. But I cannot wait for day basketball throughout this week, day basketball next week with the tournament started, the sun shining. So it is good vibes here.
I don't give two shits about the rest of the Big Ten tournament once Michigan is out. It's like, all right, whatever. So that's just my humble opinion.
Well, you might not be very long for this one then. Because Not only is Michigan playing on Wednesday night, the bracket to me looks pretty chalky, and the way that it just seems we'll get to all that. Want to start tonight first before we get into what we have outlined for the show. Tonight's show is, of course, brought to you by, and I'm glad to have one in my hands now, our special commemorative edition of the National Championship Magazine over at the Wolverine. Also, if you look over my shoulder, I've got the canvas print on the wall, courtesy of Clayton Safey. Appreciate you hooking that up for us. As the wall of championship glory continues to get built out here at my office, but pre-orders have shipped out. So we've started to see, obviously, the soft cover magazines go out. We're starting to see the hardcover ones out in the wild. People posting pictures of that on social media, on the message board. And now there's a big stock of it at our office, at the publisher's office down in Durham, North Carolina. So you can get a copy of either the soft cover or the hardback edition over at thewolverineondemand.com. If you did miss the pre-order window, there's a ton of them still in stock. So looks like when you head over to the website, there's about 1,250 copies of the soft cover magazine available and a little over 1,000 copies left of the hardback book. So again, these are in style right now. If you want to remember the run that was, it wasn't that long ago, but now we're over 2 months removed for it. Obviously it's going to be a keepsake for the rest of time, really. So head on over to thewolverineondemand.com, get your copy today. A lot of hard work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into that one with not just the three of us, but our design team, the editorial staff. So shouts out to all of them as well. All right, fellas, let's start with this today. The biggest news of the last week or so, obviously, and maybe it seemed like the writing was on the wall. Maybe it seemed like it was expected But Mike Hart will not be a member of Sherrone Moore's coaching staff, not coming back. His contract expired. Was at Schembechler Hall last week to clean out his office. And, you know, just when you thought, you know, 10 days out from spring football, that this staff was finally complete, Michigan has a move to make there. We'll talk maybe what options look like here in a little bit. But, fellas, first and foremost, just your reaction to that move taking place and what the ramifications of that might be.
Yeah, it sucks. I like Mike Hart a ton, obviously. I think he's obviously been working through some health things with that go back to last year. Without getting into details about his personal life and what's going on with him, more than anything, I just wish him the best there. I think there was at one time the thought that Mike could be the next in line to be the Michigan head coach here. Sherrone Moore kind of moved up in the pecking order, and deservedly so, frankly, because of, you know, what he accomplished last year. But when you have two guys, you know, that are vying for that and then really have that ambition, it makes it tough. The dynamics become a little bit tougher. And between that and some of the personal things, I think, I think the writing was definitely on the wall. So the one thing I can say about Mike Hart is that he made that running backs room better. And I don't think anybody can argue that. If you look at how he taught kids how to block, you know, not ripping on the guys who were there before him, but pass blocking improved dramatically when Mike Hart got here. Guys really started to run better and were more patient runners, really learned how to follow the hole, find the holes and follow their blockers a little bit better. And I know that he and Blake Corum were extremely tight. So I am going to miss him. I'm going to miss him a lot. So you hope that they get somebody in here. I know that there have been rumblings about Denard Robinson, who I love as well. And, you know, he's never been a coach. I don't think this is something that you can experiment with, fellas. I think this is an area where you've got to go out and get a proven running backs coach. We put him on our hot board regardless, because certainly he's a guy that's got experience running the football, and you know, a lot of people would trust his judgment. But to me, this is a very big loss, and just one of more of those things where, you know, I love the continuity factor when Sherrone Moore was hired and thought maybe more of these guys would stick around. Tough to not see him in that building.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's a Michigan legend, and, you know, he's the all-time leading rusher at Michigan, and then he helps groom the guy who's the all-time leader in rushing touchdowns in Blake Corum. So he's had a huge effect over the last 25 years of Michigan football and his big impact as anybody. He comes in, you know, after a great career at Michigan. I know he didn't beat Ohio State as a player, but he comes back as a coach and goes 40-3 with a national championship and 3 Big Ten titles in 3 years as an assistant. So it was, you know, it was a quick 3 years. It was great when he came back, and, you know, it was great to have him leading the running back room. I mean, think that, you know, those guys improved drastically from Hassan Haskins with 1 year with him, Blake Corum with a few years with him. You know, Donovan Edwards, I think, was going to make a big jump this year and still can, depending on who they bring in and just depending on the work and the improvement that he makes on his own. But I think the positive in the immediate aftermath is, you know, Jordan Marshall talked to our Zach Libby, same with Micah Kaapana. You know, they're still locked in as signees slated to come in the summer. You know, Jordan Marshall was the big recruiting win that Mike Hart had during his tenure at Michigan. I know he didn't recruit at as high of a level as I thought he would coming in. So yeah, it's tough to replace that. But like you said, CB, I mean, look, we talked about it when it was Mike Elston and Steve Klinkscale leaving, where they wanted to be the defensive coordinator and Sherrone Moore didn't feel like that was the right move. And I give Sherrone Moore credit for sticking to his guns there and saying, no, I mean, you can stay on as a position coach, but obviously it seemed like those guys wanted something more. They decided to go to the NFL. That's fine. Those are big losses. But in terms of the dynamic of the coaching staff, you know, I think that, you know, it could be a positive in that, you know, from that standpoint, not a positive overall necessarily, but now this is Sherrone Moore's opportunity here, like he's done with a couple other positions on the staff, to go out, find an upgrade. You know, it's hard to do because Mike Hart's so good, but, you know, maybe they can make a splash hire. We can't say too much, but there's definitely that possibility out there that they could make a splash hire.
Yeah, splash hire would be great. Again, you know, with so many, you know, the case being like so many of the guys that they've lost, it's, you can't necessarily say that with confidence that they'll get an upgrade or a one-to-one type of replacement, but there are still plenty of guys you can get. And obviously being the University of Michigan and being, you know, having a school with the pedigree that it does, you might be able to pull someone if the price is right. So we'll see what happens there. Again, you know, I think you know, just taking it at face value, if it is a, you know, wasn't going to be offensive coordinator, obviously wasn't going to be a head coach. If you want to say he lost the Game of Thrones, so to speak, in terms of who was going to be the successor to Jim Harbaugh, it seems like there's something else going on there. So I'm not going to project any opinions on that. But, you know, this is a guy at the on the same token who, you know, any professional, any rising coach in the industry would probably want upward trajectory, want a chance to elevate himself. And, you know, the fact that you were, even though he was a legendary player in college and one of the best backs, maybe the best back in school history prior to what we just saw Blake Horam do over the last 4 years. You know, there's a lot of pride involved in it too. Like, you want to be able to elevate yourself somewhere. I don't know what's next for him. I know it's going to be incredibly tough to replace him. And again, you know, I think we've talked about this before. You know, I think back to that Ohio State game in 2019 where Hassan Haskins, there was a play on fourth down where if he cuts one way instead of the other,
follow
74. That's an 8-point game, you know, in the fourth quarter of that game. And, you know, I think vision was, and there was someone in the chat, I'm not going to scroll back and look at it, but there was someone who made the point that, you know, that they didn't have a run game before Mike Hart. That's not really true. I think they had good backs. They had a good offensive line, but he and Sherrone Moore and a lot of those guys, you know, helped take that to the next level. And he took Hassan Haskins' game to the next level. He turned Blake Corum into, you know, what I think he'll probably be a day two pick in this NFL draft. So it's going to be tough, but weird to say for a running backs coach, but this might be one of the more critical hires that Sherrone Moore makes, given how important that run game is to the identity of this program, the identity of the team and the program that he wants to build moving forward.
Yeah, and I wanted to put Echo Thrax's quote up there, aloha from Hawaii, because I love our Hawaii subscribers and anybody who's tuning in from Hawaii. Isn't it crazy? We used to send, John Morton used to send photos by modem down to North Carolina for the magazine when I started at the Wolverine.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. And he'd have to come in from his house south of Jackson on Sundays to get the magazine stuff sent via modem. It was hilarious. So anyway, now we're holding chats with people from Hawaii, and I love that. So I will say that, yeah, I don't think somebody asked if Mike Hart was going to is it true that Sherrone Moore didn't extend a contract to Mike Hart? That would not surprise me at all. And in fact, I believe that's probably what happened. And it is what it is, guys. Sometimes dynamics are just such that it's not going to work. I'm sure that Mike Hart will land on his feet. This guy, to me, is a Michigan legend, a great guy. So I know a lot of people who know him personally who absolutely love him. And even though he wasn't the biggest talker away from the football field, he was one of those guys that I respected for that, frankly, and kind of let his actions do the talking for him. So good luck to you, Mike, and we'll miss you. Hope to see you back here someday.
Yeah, that's where the timing, I think, gets weird, but it's important to note that he was on leave, then comes back, and then it seems like, I mean, credit to Sherrone Moore, too. It seems like, you know, he gave him his space, you know, for the time that Mike Hart needed, and then probably they hash out, you know, what they need to, and Sherrone Moore decides or whatever what direction they needed to go in. But, yeah, for sure. I mean, Mike Hart, I don't know if he's going to coach this year given the timing. I hope he does, you know, if he wants to, and but yeah, he's a great coach and a good dude. So I'm excited to see what he does in the future. But
help change the culture of this program. It was absolutely as big a part as anybody of doing that.
No doubt. And maybe we'll see him, you know, back here down the road. You never know one day. So, you know, we saw Brian Jean-Marie, you know, he's now a Michigan man. He kind of is. He's a coach here now. But yeah, he came back after a couple of years, so we could see Mike Hart do the same thing. Certainly, I think down the road that opportunity could come about.
Which one of you is going to be the first one to ask Jean-Marie about the Tennessee crowd versus the Michigan crowd and the tennis crowd in Ann Arbor at the Big House? I'll give you $5, Clayton.
I might do it. yeah, that was a weird comment. I feel like he just kind of like said it and then was like, oh shoot, I don't know if that's true. I don't know what he was thinking, because he was only here for the COVID year, of course, if people don't remember that.
It was really quiet in the stadium in his defense that year when there were like 10 people in the stands.
They were pumping in some crowd noise. Maybe he got fooled. Maybe he thought the cardboard cutouts were fans and he's like, man, terrible turnout here.
What a shitty year that was. Let's talk about something else. Here we go.
Well, I guess what you turn the page to here is, you know, who's next? Because, you know, the current running back room, to Michigan's credit, at least with the early returns coming out of this move becoming official, is it seems like you're in good shape. Jordan Marshall's not looking to go anywhere. Kaapana is not looking to go anywhere. We know that Donovan Edwards is locked in. Cole Cabana, Benjamin Hall, the other guys, Caleb Mullings, we'll see about. Again, I think everyone on this roster falls into the window of we'll see what happens after spring football, given that it is still a coaching change. But, now attention turns to who that replacement is going to be. And, you know, right now, I know, Chris, you put up a hot board over the weekend, and we don't want to spill all of the details on that, of course, because we want you guys to go over to the site. And again, for the people that are watching on YouTube, you can use that promo code UM1 to get 2 months of access to our site for only $1. So you're going to want to take advantage of that as well. But let's talk about potential replacements now, because there are still some moves to be made. Again, you even think about a couple years ago, if you lose Maurice Linguist after spring ball and bring in Steve Klinkscale. So there's always good coaches to be had if you have an opportunity that appeals to them. So Chris, I guess I'll defer to you. I mean, where are things at right now? And I guess a question I would have is, spring ball starts 7 days from today.
Yeah.
Assuming there's going to be, what, 2 or 3 weeks for the background check?
At least. And people want to know why the background checks are taking so long, and it's because they've been burned on some of these recent hires, right? The Matt Weiss thing and Shemi Schembechler, Bob Shoup, who didn't even coach a game. He was relegated to the office and was an off-field coach while he was here. So somebody said it won't be DeMarco Murray. I agree with that. I know that he turned them down the first time, but you circle back, right? And you say, hey, what can we do to get you here? They need a home run hire here. They don't need to win the press conference, but they need a really, really good hire. And that's why, you know, people will be mad at me for saying that Denard Robinson shouldn't be the guy. All these people who love Denard Robinson, but I just don't think he's got the experience there, as a recruiter or as a coach. And I understand that a lot of other guys haven't either, but he really hasn't been a coach at all, fellas, even at really the high school level, right? I think he's been an offensive analyst where he's been before this. And to me, there's something to be said for that. So I wouldn't mind seeing Fred Jackson in that role, you know, at 70, what is he, 72 years old? And Fred was doing a hell of a job with those backs. And Fred is an outstanding running backs coach, and he was an elite recruiter. Probably doesn't want to mess with that anymore. But, so that's not a realistic option. I'm just saying that if it were somebody on staff, frankly, he'd be my first choice. So with all due respect to Denard, who I love, but to me, there are some names out there that we haven't said yet, and we don't want to screw anything up, you know, like the hush hush stuff. And we aren't the only ones who have said that. So please don't come back and say, well, why even tease it? If you know, blah, 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 blah. There are just some things you can talk about and some things you can't. So, but the sooner the better is exactly right. And it needs to happen soon. They need another guy on the recruiting trail. And, you know, everybody talks about great recruiters and finding a staff of great young recruiters, but they had great young recruiters like Steve Klinkscale, for example. Ron Bellamy's a great young recruiter, and they were still having trouble recruiting because they had their hands tied a little bit by the NIL and the fact that Michigan's athletic department hadn't done enough to support it and put them behind the eight ball. So we'll see who it is. I would hope soon enough. It's not supposed to take very long from what we understand. And hopefully it's a dynamic hire, not an easy hire, and not one that was just really kind of scheduled to win the press conference.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like a guy like Denard Robinson, he could end up being good. You just don't know. He doesn't have the experience. You'd rather see it, you know, elsewhere or whatever before he comes back. And you could say that, you know, with a number of different hires. And that's, you know, I think Sherrone Moore has, you know, some of his hires, you know, they've lacked a little bit of experience, but they're young and they maybe have pluses in other categories. But yeah, the teasing and the hinting and all that, I think people would thank us later, maybe, if some of these,
I would think so. I do want to respond to Luke. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. We just said we'd love to have Mike Hart here. If I'm not
mistaken. I think Luke is referring to the chat because the chat is arguing.
Thank God, Luke, you scared the shit out of me there, buddy. I'm already on edge. All right. So I stopped drinking pop last week, so I'm having a heart attack here, but you're absolutely right, buddy. Mike Hart would have been a great, you know what I'm all for the culture that they've built. Right. And, the problem with that is that I just don't think that Denard is the right guy. I just don't think that he's got the experience needed for it. So that's just it.
Luke, yeah. The same thing you say about Denard, you can say about Sherrone Moore. That's almost even more reason though to surround Sherrone Moore, at least in my opinion, with guys with
exactly the experience. Exactly. That's why I said when he was hired, I said if you keep the staff together and you keep continuity, it was a great hire. Right now it's kind of an experiment. And that's not a pejorative to say that, but you know what? This is a guy who's coached for four games. So Luke, I agree with you there. And it's a little bit nerve-wracking, right? Going in there with a guy who helped build the culture, but he's kind of surrounded by a staff that we don't know how well they're going to work together. We don't know how Wink Martindale is going to mesh with some of these young assistants. So yeah, that's why. And I think you're right. Exactly right, Clay. Get some experienced guys in there around him to help him, because even your analysts, when you had analysts like Doug Mallory and Rick Minter, there is a reason that this football team was so damn good. It was the players, of course, but it was also that elite coaching staff. And to me, you know, the jury's out.
I guess part of me too is I guess I don't really fully understand or grasp what the pitch would be for Denard Robinson, given that, you know, he's what the assistant director official title is assistant director of player personnel. He was a scouting assistant with the Jaguars before that. I know he did some quality control stuff with them as well, but I don't know what makes him, you know, we can't just hire guys that went to Michigan because it makes you feel good that there are Michigan guys on the staff. Now with Jim Harbaugh, it worked because not only were those guys Michigan alums, they were also some of the best coaches at their positions in college football. So that was a very unique sort of setup. Again, you know, I think that you have the goods to go make probably the best hire that you can make if the best candidate that you want is interested. Selfishly, I wouldn't hate a guy like Devin Spaulding on the staff, given that he's a Chippewa and that pipeline, you know, I like how that pipeline's been working for Michigan. Sure. And Central probably likes how that pipeline's been working for them as well, especially with some of the alleged extra help they got on the scouting front last fall. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Again, I hope it comes together quickly. I guess that would be the pro of, you know, just elevating a Denard Robinson, is that you don't have to do the background check stuff. But whoever steps in has to be there during spring football. You can't waste 2 to 3 weeks of pretty important team building time, you know, seeing if the guy has liked a bad tweet in the past, or you got to kind of expedite this thing because we are a week out.
It was now. A little more than that with Shemmy, to be clear, but
I'm saying in general.
Exactly.
Yes.
Odawa, need 3 weeks to find that.
Yeah. Yeah. Odawa, I'm telling you, it is as Clay said, right? If you're giving all these guys a first time opportunity, then who's the guy you turn to who has that experience when time goes, you know, you just don't do it.
Yeah. But that's so different though, because Sherrone was an offensive coordinator the last three, you know,
right.
Last that few too. Years.
Right.
He was a head coach in four of these games. And again, I know it wasn't the same thing as what, you know, a full-time head coach would be game planning during the week, but it's not even the same argument. So I'm not to be disrespectful to some of the feedback, but it's just not the same thing.
I agree. You're not degree by disagreeing. Let's put it that way. So we can have, you guys can have your opinions, and you know what, and we're going to have our opinions and we'll find out. Okay. But just like Mike Wallace's opinion that Ron Bellamy needs to recruit better. I don't mean to keep, I'm the one that punching these buttons here on these, but he's not the only one, guys. And his hands are tied too. You know, they all need to recruit better. Let's be honest. In the past, a national championship would have gotten you a top five recruiting class at Michigan. It's not that simple anymore, because if you're not forking out bags of cash with, you know, it doesn't have to be in a McDonald's bag anymore. You can go online, you know, and smile and give a kid stacks of $100 bills, and there's nothing the NCAA can do about it anymore. So there are a lot of things working against Michigan's guys being great recruiters. And that is absolutely one of them. So anyway, sorry to interrupt there.
No, and they had a top five recruiting class without winning a national championship back in 2017. Class right. didn't work out, right? But that's just, right. you know, showing that it was much easier even to do back then with lack of results. Now the results are there, but you're in a different era and it's harder. I will say this on the background checks, just real quick tangent. I feel like now that they don't have 5, 6, 7 guys waiting to get them, they could go quicker and they could get somebody on the field quickly for spring ball if they had to.
That's a good point too. I'm going to step up and defend Ron Bellamy for a second because there's a chance he could have a guy drafted in the first round, or at least the back of the first round this year in Roman Wilson, which is kind of crazy. A lot of NFL types like Cornelius Johnson as a mid-round pick. And again, I think he gets some flack for not developing guys, but he's going to have two guys this year that I think will get drafted, and one of them is going to get drafted pretty high. So give him his flowers, at least for player development. You know, I think the way that Michigan recruits at wide receiver, you got to be okay blocking. And some of these guys, you think Ohio State, you think that Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State, while he looks like he's a junior or senior, again, I don't want to get clipped and get memed later on. But what I'm saying is when you, some of those elite wide receiver prospects, you don't know if they're going to be willing to block down the field. And that's a pretty important thing, you know, part of what Michigan does. So
I think a lot of people might say, well, then why didn't they produce more? Right. And why couldn't they get open more and things like that? So if these guys are doing so well at these combines and everything else, and they're going to be high draft picks, then why wasn't Roman Wilson, you know, 900-yard, 1,000-yard receiver or something like that? Yeah. So it works both ways.
Sure.
Yep.
Just a fleeting comment. But any other thoughts on the coaching staff? How things are coming together? I mean, it seems like for the most part everything is set. But you know, to have a full time spot up for grabs a week before spring ball is a little nerve wracking. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm in wait and see mode, guys, and I think everybody should be, right? There's nobody has any idea how this is gonna go. You know, you've got a first time head coach, a young guy who looks like he's very aggressive on the recruiting trail, hasn't paid any dividends yet. And we'll see if it does. But again, a lot of it's going to depend on NIL. So you better damn well be able to identify talent in this day and age, you know, in terms of finding some of those guys that aren't five stars, because if you're not paying a crap ton of money, then you're not going to get some of these guys. So, but there is a way to put a team together, as Jim Harbaugh showed, with guys that weren't the best of the best. If you have a couple of those guys, you know, Will Johnson's one of them. Mason Graham, nobody knew he would be, but as Clayton Safey just wrote, Michigan's Mason Graham named top returning defensive tackle in college football, which we've known. He's no longer a secret, but he was a three-star, right? Boise State commitment at one point. So, this to me is why you need all hands out on deck out there finding under the radar talent as well that you're able to develop, and then you damn well better be able to develop them as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And I will give credit to what a few of them had as him as a 4-star, but yeah, 3-star in the consensus. Is that one of the bigger misses in terms of recruiting? I mean, and maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's like, okay, he wasn't this great recruit, but you know, he turned into a great college, but you never really know exactly how it goes. But I mean, right off the bat in spring ball in the spring game, I mean, he was so good. So he's one of the more underrated players. Now I'm looking at his On3 college ranking. They have him as a 5-star. Okay. So you go from 3-star to 5-star. He's the number 26 player in the country. He might even be higher than that. So yeah, he's incredible. And Kenneth Grant checks in at number 6 on that list as well. But the only thing on the staff that I have to add is that it's going to be interesting to see how they fill some of those analyst roles, like you mentioned, Chris, with Doug Mallory, how Sean McGee fills out the rest of his staff, how the support staff on the recruiting side of things or the player personnel side of things grows as well, because Jim Harbaugh took some of those guys as well. You know, Tom Gamble's no longer here. He was a guy no one talked about, but it was behind the scenes scouting a lot, and Denard Robinson worked closely with him. So you're still going to see more moves, and I think that Sharon Moore understands that they've got to have a really good staff around the coaching staff too, that will help them succeed, because there is so much now that's on the plate of all these different coaches, not just the head coach. You know, everyone talks about that. Chip Kelly goes from UCLA to Ohio State, and, you know, he's talking about how he gets to coach the offense now in different positions and everything, and that's fine. But even those spots, there's a lot that comes with it, including NIL. So having the analysts, having the support staff built out is going to be, you know, pretty key for Sharon Moore too, including, you know, with the fact that they do have some guys with not as much experience.
Yeah, and since I've been in the mode of giving people their flowers today, I think Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant were probably two of EJ's best evaluations ever. Like, he was pounding the table for both of those guys, especially Graham coming out. So, again, I don't I don't understand how rankings are put together, but thank goodness Michigan identified and found those guys, because they are foundational pieces that I think gives them a chance if things break right to kind of keep this window open next year. So
yeah, and our EJ, EJ is our EJ Holland, by the way, our recruiting analyst for those of you who don't know, and does a great job for us. Best in the business, no question, especially in the Michigan beat.
Yep. Absolutely. He's a grinder. He invented
it. Doesn't matter if people threaten him at events, you know, or anything like that. He just keeps going.
Yeah, he invented the grind.
He invented the grind.
The man is a machine.
Can we tell that story someday, Clay?
One day. That'll be in the book.
All right. That'll be in our book. All right, good enough. Holy cow.
We'll start taking pre-orders for those soon as well.
Great.
All right. Well, let's move into I don't even want to go here, but we have a duty to cover all things Michigan athletics. Mercifully, the regular season has come to an end for this edition of Michigan men's basketball. They finished the year 8-23, losers of 8 straight games at the end of the year, losers of 18 of their last 20 games to end the season. The losingest, literally statistically losingest Michigan basketball season in the history of the program. But they've still won in so many ways. Juwan Howard, after yesterday's game, more or less to me, and again, it could have been viewed differently. Maybe I'm taking it the wrong way. Kind of sounded like making what his pitch would be to stick around for at least another season. Again, I think all of us are kind of, I can't speak for everyone, but obviously if a change was to take place, I think that all of us could probably be on board with that. But, you know, as it pertains to the state of Michigan basketball, they will play. They are the 14th seed. You know, they lost, or, you know, their last place team and maybe the worst Big Ten I've ever seen by 4 games or so. So it kind of just goes to show, just as bad as you think it was probably worse, but there is still one game to go. They are the 14th seed. They will play number 11 Penn State Wednesday. It's one of those 9 p.m. Peacock tip-offs. You know, if you're watching that to be, I think you're probably a diehard fan and or a Big Ten tournament completist, which I think all of us fall under both of those categories, at least in terms of
we're
one of those aspects of it.
So.
Yeah, well, I'm watching because I've been there every step of the way so far. But I guess just thoughts now that the regular season is over. I mean, this Big Ten tournament game, it's the first time we haven't gone there in a long time.
Ever for me.
I think it's just kind of, I don't know what to even say anymore, because I feel like we've discussed where this program is at. We've discussed Juwan Howard's status ad nauseum, but I don't think there's, short of winning 5 games in 5 days, which is not going to happen, I don't even think they'll be around to eat their continental breakfast on Thursday morning. Short of winning this Big Ten tournament, there's absolutely no positives you can take away from it, in my opinion.
I love the draw, guys. Penn State, Indiana, Nebraska. They owe Nebraska one. You know, they can score on them. I got a feeling this team is going to get to Saturday and surprise the shit out of people. No, I don't really. That's a joke. I don't think they beat Penn State. If they beat Penn State, I don't think they beat Indiana. If they do, though, then, boy, we get another 9 o'clock game. Man, all these 9 o'clock games on the cock there is, the second one's on the Big Ten Network. First one's on Peacock. So, but I can't wait for this to end, because I can't stand watching this basketball team. Flat out, they don't care. The way they play, there's no engagement on the bench. The defense is ridiculous. There is no defense. There was a play that summed up the entire game yesterday, when they let Keisei Tominaga go down and get a rebound and just dribble down for a layup with nobody picking him up. This team is a disgrace to the Michigan basketball tradition. And Nick Stauskas had it right, and he got some criticism for it. But you know what? Juwan Howard has said as much, you know, that his guys, he's flat out said his guys aren't buying in, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, said it first came to a head when they lost a couple weeks ago. They were down by 30 in the first half. And he said, you know, I've never tasted last place in my life, and so on and so forth. And, but it's on the head coach, right, to do something about that. And you've got a bunch of guys here that don't seem to like each other. From what I'm watching, the body language indicates that anyway. I'm sure some guys do and some guys don't, but there seem to be cliques to me. there was one instance yesterday where it looked like one of the players was laughing at one of his teammates when something went wrong on the floor, which is flat out unacceptable. So everything about this bad. Was it really? Did it really happen? Was that him?
No, I don't know. People were talking about it, Jace.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then that's absolutely absurd. And but regardless, this whole thing is a mess. I cannot wait until I don't have to watch them again. And what does that tell you guys? I have never missed a Big Ten tournament game in my life, a Big Ten Michigan Big Ten tournament in my life. I had no desire to go up to Minneapolis for a Wednesday night and be leaving when everybody else was just arriving. Shit, half the guys weren't even going to be arriving until the next day on Thursday when the tournament really begins, or on Friday. So let's get this over with.
Yeah, I will say the Juwan Howard comment after yesterday's game, every fan's going to do this now, is any comment, they just kind of pounce on it. But he was asked about something his players talked about, which was, in their words, you know, the life lessons that they're learning and whatever. And they used the term, you know, winning in life after this, whatever. So Juwan Howard said, you know, we have won in a lot of ways. Look, I mean, people can pounce on whatever comment they make. It doesn't really matter at this point. This team's terrible. But to me, that was really nothing. And I don't know what he's supposed to say at this point. I don't know what they're supposed to do in season when there's this lack of talent on the roster without Olivier Kamwa as well late in the year. Like, what button is he supposed to push right now? Is he supposed to play Jalen Llewellyn more, who's on the screen right now? Is he supposed to play Yo-Yo a little bit more? I would like to see that, actually. But, you know, is it going to make that much of a difference? And you think
anybody back, willing to try?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are guys.
I don't give a shit if it's five walk-ons, like he said. Put them out there if they are willing to box out and play team defense and not act like they're going through the motions and making an absolute disgrace of this program. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and the defense is as bad as it gets, and it's kind of bewildering to watch. But and then on the offensive end, it's like, I mean, they don't have anyone that can do anything other than Doug McDaniel, but, you know, he does too much at times, and he's the only one with any sort of athleticism to do anything. So at this point, to me, things are kind of the same as they were. We will see what they do against another team that has one of the weirder situations in the Big Ten this year. Kanye Clary, Penn State's leading scorer, kicked off the team a couple weeks ago. So you have Doug McDaniel, who wasn't able to play road games, and this. So the battle of two very bizarre storylines on Wednesday night on Peacock in Minneapolis for the first time. First time they've had the Big Ten tournament in the Midwest that hasn't been in either Chicago or Indy. So it's going to be a weird one. I'm more excited for the other games than the Michigan game, but I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Penn State. But Penn State's even beating decent teams. I don't think this is going to last past Thursday because Indiana's pretty hot, and they're a competent basketball team, and you can't say the same thing about Michigan.
No, and they just don't care, right? Anthony, is that unfair? It sure as hell looks to me like they don't care.
I mean, I just there's no effort. I mean, and the effort that's there, it's like a chicken with your head cut off. I mean, they throw the ball to no one. They just have zero court awareness on both ends of the floor. That play that you referenced where Tominaga just kind of walked through for a layup, that reminded me of, like, if you're playing a video game, but you forget to pause it and just set the controller down, and all of your players just stand like this, and someone runs right by him.
Like, and that happens from upstairs, and, you know,
that happens. Yes, that happens at least once per game.
At least.
And it happened a few times in the game on Sunday, but that one was the worst of it. And again, it's just, they don't, you know, when it comes to, I mean, there is no, and again, I know people complain about the broadcast and, you know, citing of all the reasons that this has been an unlucky year or bad year. No, this has been a continuation of things that have been going on the last 2 years, except the talent's worse. And, you know, NIL's a part of that. Player development's a part of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I think that change not only is necessary, but I think at this point, and I'll still say, you know, I know there's a lot going around about, oh, well, Ward said he hasn't planned on making a move right now in the here and now. Change is inevitable. I think it's going to happen. It has to happen because, again, these aren't just issues that are in the vacuum of this season. I think some of the things that happened this year were exacerbated by some things that took place, like Juwan's surgery, like the Doug McDaniel suspension. But other than that, and even the Doug McDaniel suspension, you can argue is a self-inflicted wound. And I'm just, I don't think anyone is going to miss watching this team play. And I think that's the most damning thing you can say about a program, because you're going to come out of this year. I mean, first off, you have to cross your fingers that a player like Doug McDaniel or Terrace Reed or anyone who's worth anything on this team would choose to stick around, whether Juwan's here or not. But again, I think they've wasted an opportunity to get Yusef Kayat more minutes in exchange for Trey Jackson, who has added almost nothing to them this entire season. I know that George Washington is a little undersized and not really ready, but again, I think these games where they've been down a guard, they've wasted opportunities to get him more time. I just think it's a disaster and a rudderless ship from top to bottom, and I think you don't even really have to watch the players' body language to see that. Just watch the staff. I mean, Phil Martelli looks miserable. Howard Eisley and Saadi Washington are mannequins out there right now. And Juwan Howard, I mean, Clayton and I noticed this when we were I think it was the Rutgers game we were watching in the hotel last week when we were at the combine. You know, they had one of those mic'd up situations with Juwan Howard. And in the huddle, he's just telling the team things that are going wrong. He's not talking about making adjustments. He's just telling them, oh, we have to play better defense. Oh, we need to get better shots. Well, newsflash, that's how basketball works. So I just think it's just from top to bottom, there is a rot within this program that I really do think is irreparable. And to compare it to the Jim Harbaugh situation from the COVID season, it's not even close to the same thing.
No. And there are some BS. There's so much BS out there right now about his future and everything else. And we'll find out, you know, everybody will know here. But here's the thing. People with agendas, right? I think if you pulled the fan base right now, I would bet at least 90 to 95% would say they need to make a change, right? Not just based on what's going on the floor, which is miserable, but kind of the incidents that have led to Juwan Howard being suspended and everything else. And of course, the main thing, and as we've said many times, is that he's healthy and he's got his health back, and that's fantastic. That certainly didn't help early in the year, but that does not explain what's going on the floor right now.
Agree. Only thing I will say is that polling the fan base it's not always a great way to determine what they should do. I think these should be people who are paid the money to do this, to make these decisions, or to make the decisions about the people making the decisions, to make the tough calls here that have to be made. So it's not about popularity or this or that. No. It's about what's the solution to fixing Michigan's issues with Michigan basketball, which are aplenty. And, you know, we'll see what happens here. It could be, we could know something by the end of this week after a Wednesday loss or whatever it is, and then we'll kind of go from there. The transfer portal opens up on Monday, March 18th, the day after Selection Sunday. So you got to move quickly because other teams already are. You're seeing it with the mid-majors who finish up their conference tournaments over the weekend. They're not going to be vying for some of the same candidates as Michigan, but you better believe a lot of these other teams that lose midweek here in the ACC, Big East, whatever it is in the power conferences, are going to make moves quickly. And if Michigan's going to do that, they got to be in the best position possible to move quick.
Well, Michigan likes to submit its decisions on things via carrier pigeons. So we'll see what the timeline for that would be. It's a shame that we're not going to Minneapolis. I think that in a different set of circumstances where there's a chance for maybe there for 2 or 3 days, I think we would have had a great time there, but we'll see what happens next time around. Also, shout out to Michigan hockey, who will head to Minneapolis this weekend. And they're on fire right now, seem to have kind of figured their stuff out. So shout out to them. I know there was a couple messages in the chat saying those guys deserved a shout out and more attention. So we'll give that to them. But
I think I put the interim tag back on Naredo a couple weeks ago. I'm going to take it off again.
Well, again, that's a decision that's made with more conviction and more urgency than any other decision that's been made.
But even people were calling for that for a while, and then they did it before the Frozen Four, and then they lost.
Yeah,
they went to the Frozen Four. You know, I will never complain about a season in which they go to the Frozen Four. And I think they have a chance to go there this year. I mean, you got to get in, right? They're going to be a 3 seed. It looks like they've beaten Notre Dame 5 times in a row, which is fantastic. They're going to have a chance here to win yet another Big Ten tournament. So, But I did not want to suggest that it was a popularity contest, Clay. If you go back to the John Beilein era, you know, I bet 60% of the fan base would have wanted him gone. And Dave Brandon said, if I fired John Beilein, I'd have to hire another John Beilein. Probably the smartest thing he ever said as an athletic director. And I was right there with him because you knew, you know what, that, yeah, this guy is an elite basketball coach. All you had to do was watch his teams, you know, and we'd seen what he'd done with some less talented teams everywhere he'd been. He finally got the right mix here at Michigan. And so, yeah, but you know, and when it came, even Jim Harbaugh was 50-50. I was 50. I admitted it. I said, if it weren't Jim Harbaugh, if Jim Harbaugh doesn't get back to being Jim Harbaugh, then he should go if he's not all in on this program. And he got back to being the jackhammer, and look what happened, man. So otherwise Matt Campbell might be sitting here and Clay would be really, really beating that drum. So
yeah, I mean, it would have been the worst mistake in the history of Michigan athletics if right. they would have got rid of Jim Harbaugh. There's no question
in hindsight about absolutely it. yeah,
and I have screenshots of polls from Michigan fans back in 2020 of over 70% fans saying that Jim Harbaugh should be gone. So and then people were like, oh well, some of the players don't want Mel Pearson a couple years ago. It's like, no, let's look at the facts and make the decisions based on those, not, you know, a vote of the player. There could have been a vote of the Michigan players on the football team in 2017 that would have said, with some of the bad attitudes there, hey, we don't like Jim Harbaugh, but it wouldn't have been the right move to move on. So no, I think we agree here. I think my point is just, hey, if you're Ward Manuel, if you're tasked with making this decision, make the correct decision, find the solution to fix the basketball program, one that has shown it can win over the last couple decades. That's what needs to happen. And we'll see if he or whoever's making that decision has the guts to do what needs to be done.
All about guts. Let's move on, though, to our Q&A portion of tonight's show as we round to the home stretch here. Got a few from the message board and at least one queued up here in the chat. So, again, if you want to get yours in, feel free to do that below. And if you want to move yourself to the front of the line, for those of you watching on YouTube, use that that donate button as well. But I'm going to start with one on the message board. This is from, oddly enough, a poster titled Coach Jim for UM, who says, how would you rank our top five assistant coaches for football? Seems like a significant drop off from last year.
It's a loaded question because we haven't seen these guys coach yet. So I don't think that's a fair one to ask. It's tough, right?
Yeah, because really
last year's staff was elite. Right. Hit so many positions. Losing Steve Klinkscale, huge blow. Losing Mike Elston to me, huge blow. Losing Ben Herbert, huge blow. Right. Let's go right down the list. So to me, we'll see. But I don't think it's fair to compare at this point, because two things, you're comparing against one of the best staffs that Michigan's ever had, and we haven't seen these guys in action yet. I need to see what they do on the field before I can effectively rank them against somebody else.
Yeah, how can we rank Grant Newsom as an offensive line coach when he's never done it?
Right.
You know, so that's a tough question. We've seen some of the other guys coach their position elsewhere, but even then, like, we weren't there. We weren't watching every game of or any games of Louisiana with Lamar Morgan as their D coordinator. And even now, okay, now he's stepping into a higher level of, you know, at least FBS football, coaching the secondary as opposed to being the D coordinator. He coached corners at Vanderbilt, and, you know, Jesse Minter recommends him. But look, we don't know the whole story on that. So, yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, I would just probably rank Wink number one. But even then, you know, he was in the NFL for 20 years. But I think that one would be the only one I'd be comfortable really doing at this point. Even Kirk Campbell did a great job with the quarterbacks. He also had a great talent there as well. And I do think he's a fantastic coach, but now he's the OC. So it's just hard to grade these guys at this point.
And I'll be honest, I've got my questions about Wink as a college coordinator and how he's going to mesh with the young guys. And, you know, his scheme is a little bit different. I think he's adaptable. And let's hope he is, man. Let's hope he looks at what some of these younger guys that have done here, Jesse Minter, Mike McDonald, and says, man, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They won a lot of football games playing this way.
Well, let me change the question to this then. This is one from me that I'll pose to you guys, is that if you had to buy stock in one guy, I don't even know what the parameters around that would be, but if you're putting Chris Ballas stock into an assistant coach, Clayton Safey stock into an assistant coach, is there a guy on staff that you're looking at to be, you know, could ascend to being one of the best at his position in the sport?
Lamar, because Jesse Minter was, recommended him and spoke extremely highly of him. I think there's a possibility that he'll be really, really good. So if he's got Jesse Minter's stamp of approval, then he's got my stamp of approval as well. Look at Megan being all over that. So getting the picture up there. So I'm excited to see what he can do with those guys. Excited to see how he relates. So I think he'll do really well. Greg Scruggs too. I think reading some articles on him about recruiting and what he looks for in relationships and stuff like that really moved the needle for me. And you can tell when a fan base is really, really upset to lose somebody like they were with Scruggs, then that speaks volumes to me as well. So I'd go with those two guys.
Yeah, Lamar is a great pick. I'll go with a guy who Wall Street wanted this guy. Washington, D.C. wanted this guy as well when he came out of Michigan and had his career-ending injury and then decides to be a coach over all that. Grant Newsom, I mean, I don't think it'd be a dumb thing to buy stock in Grant Newsom either. I think he's on the rise. He's younger than me. He is, you know, it's crazy. He's 26 years old, and he's an offensive line coach at one of the best offensive line, you know, schools, I guess you could say, or programs in the sport. So him, I mean, there are a lot of guys you could buy stock on because some of them are relatively unknown. You know, even Greg Scruggs, another good pick, has only been a position coach a few years. You know, when he was with the New York Jets a couple of years ago, it was as an assistant D-line coach. He wasn't the you know, first in command there with the defensive line. So there's a lot to like about the potential of these guys. So I would buy stock in a number of them. And yeah, we'll see how they do together. But there's definitely a lot to like about the upside.
Yeah, I don't know who my pick would even be. Part of me wants to say, I mean, Kirk Campbell, obviously, as an offensive coordinator, I mean, that's already automatic stock up. But I wonder what Steve Kasula's influence on the offense is going to be, given that he was an offensive coordinator as well. We know that the tight ends are going to continue to be, you know, a focal point of this offense. I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, I guess if I had to power rank him. Another young guy. I still think probably Grant Newsom's at the top of that list. I just so intelligent. I think he's wise beyond his years, and I think he's going to be a fixture on this staff. And maybe he's an offensive coordinator one day. We'll see. Maybe he follows the trajectory that Sherrone Moore did. But
I wanted to put Dutch Oven up here. Yeah, sorry that you feel that way. Just trying to keep it real and give her
my favorite Debbie Dutchman says we're her favorite Debbie Downers minus Clayton. I'm sorry,
so he doesn't like me then.
You can
no, it's great. Yeah, but
you're his least favorite Debbie Downer.
That's right. Thanks, Dutch Oven. So yeah, we're not
trying to be better, Dutchman.
he's saying that you're optimistic and he likes that. I believe.
Well, I just tell it how it is, man.
Yeah, and so do we, and we all have different opinions. Sorry that rubs you the wrong way.
Let's go to this one from GoBlue982 as we round things out here. Let's just want to say I got my hardcover national title book. The only thing that would make it better is if I could get players and coaches to sign it. Yeah, I mean, I guess you gotta be on the lookout for that. Don't have any of us sign it. It actually goes down in value if you have that happen, so... In our names,
I would say go to NFL games. This make it a point to go to any NFL game this season. You're gonna have somebody's gonna be there, right? You can get one at each stadium, and including a coach at this point. Hell, I'd go out to LA, man, and see if I could go to like a fan day or something like that and get Clink and Alston and Ben Herbert and Jim Harbaugh to sign it. And we'll put in a good word for you there, GB.
Again, just this is just a soft cover edition, but
yeah,
stake out Shen Beckler Hall.
Yeah, I could do that too.
Maybe don't.
Yeah. Let's go to Aubrey who thinks that December is best. It's in the name. Says, can you guys explain the Quentin Johnson situation? I thought he declared for the draft. Yeah. I'm a little confused by that as well. Mm-hmm. Do we know what's going on there?
I don't think he filed paperwork if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure exactly, but I do know that there's a good chance that he's coming back. And I know that he's been talking to people about NIL opportunities. More than one person, in fact, somebody who's directly involved in it. So his plan, according to one of those people that he talked to, is to come back. So I don't know if he needs a waiver. I don't know if he didn't file the paperwork, but I do know that that is the expectation, which would be obviously huge for the Michigan secondary.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting with that. I remember Donovan Jeter was trying to come back a couple of years ago, and it turns out they didn't need him. But, you know, when it seemed like they were a little bit thin on the defensive line, and he had already gone through Michigan's pro day, and that kind of, you know, it's basically impossible to come back from that. So reading up on it, it looks like, you know, you can register for, I know he didn't make the combine, but there are regional combines. If he would have participated in next week's pro day, that would have eliminated him. But I, you know, maybe there's stuff with agents that you can't do. But other than that, like there's definitely that possibility. And obviously seems like there is. So That'd be huge. I mean, it would soften the blow of Keon Sabb leaving. You'd obviously rather have Keon Sabb because he has more years left and, you know, higher upside for sure. And I think he's a better player. But Quentin Johnson, a guy who has made huge plays in huge games, could be coming back to be your third safety. It allows you a little bit more flexibility if you want to move Rod Moore or Makari Page to the slot corner spot, whether situationally or, you know, Rod Moore full time, whatever you want to do there. It gives Lamar Morgan and Wink Martindale some flexibility there. So, I mean, the guy who forced the fumble on Jalen Milroe in the Rose Bowl, I would take him back for another year.
Have I told you that story on this podcast about when we were over there and we were with Doug Karsh and sent the waiter over there to ask Quentin Johnson, because he was at the restaurant we were at, guys, in Houston, and asked the waiter to say, "Hey, aren't you the guy that forced the fumble on Jalen Milroe?" And Quentin Johnson's face lit up. He's like, "Man, you remember? How'd you know that? How could you see my face?"
Random waiter in Houston.
And we got him. So Doug got him.
To Doug on that one.
Sorry, Q. Yeah, but that was a fun moment. And I love that kid. He's a great interview.
All right, well, we're going to get out of here on everyone's favorite topic. Who's going to be the starting quarterback at Michigan? Actually, a two-part question here. I'll take this one from H-Gut first. It says, amongst the QBs that are on campus right now, is Alex Orji the favorite for the starting job? Mm. I would think if you just set the depth chart based on how the season ended, it's probably Jack Tuttle that get those quote unquote first reps, but I think all of them are going to be a factor in it. That includes Orji, that includes Jaden Denegal. Jaden Davis will get some work, but I assume that even Davis Warren would be ahead of him as well. So don't know. I'd call him the favorite, but I think he's going to get, obviously, you know, pretty substantial amount of snaps here.
Yeah. I've said that I think that the starting quarterback is not on the roster currently, and that's going to be a tough one to sell to a lot of these young guys, right? Are they going to hit the portal if you go out and get a transfer quarterback? But at the same time, they got to understand this is Michigan, and if you're not getting the job done or if you're not capable, then you're going to find somebody who is. So I would probably go with Tuttle at this point. I love Alex Orji's upside. I just don't know if he is a quarterback at this level.
Let me go to part two of that real quick, since it is this one was addressed to Ballas. Mm-hmm. Does he think the starting QB isn't on campus? Who do you see coming here?
Cade McNamara. God. I'm just kidding. I have no idea. I really don't. And I do believe that it will be. They'll probably. It really kind of depends on who goes through spring and isn't the starter somewhere else. So I don't think that anybody's been identified yet, right? Remember Jake Rudock when he found out he wasn't getting the starting job at Iowa, and then all of a sudden he's going to transfer, and here it is.
So there's that possibility where then you kind of get scraps, so to speak, and it can work out. Jake Rudock is a great example of that.
Yeah,
or it could be somebody who says, "I'm a starter here. I'm probably going to start at my school, but the Michigan job is attractive to play on a
team. And my team sucks."
Yeah, my team
sucks. Michael Penix.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, you go through it, and you understand that people talk behind the scenes as much as I don't like it in the sport. I think it sucks. I think that when you look at the NFL and the way they set up free agency, where it's literally set up like midnight at a certain night, this can happen. There's a tampering period for 2 days. Then you can officially sign guys. We're seeing that now, all the news today with all this. It's set up great, but college football is a complete mess. That said, this stuff happens. So it could be somebody who's going to start at their school. I think that would be more ideal. And Michigan's able to get him. We saw James Turner last year. And this is a kicker, right? You know, he enters the transfer portal with a no contact clause. Michigan seemed like the layup from there, and it can happen that way as well. So it's that. I think Jack Tuttle is recovering from an injury this spring. So is that going to impact his chances as well in the battle for what's going to happen when April 15th and the portal opens as well? So maybe in the spring, I would probably say Orji at the top, but I mean, it's just so hard to say. These guys don't have a lot of experience.
Yep.
Yeah, and again, I'm not, this is a podcast of integrity, so I won't, outright say that Michigan should tamper or go after this guy. I would say, though, let's just say you're a Noah Fifita at Arizona. Jed Fish just leaves for Washington, and he said that he's going to stay, but Arizona hires San Jose State's head coach, Brent Brennan, who went 34-48 over his seven seasons there. I'm just saying, there might be a better opportunity out there available. I'm just saying, just leaving that out there. So maybe a guy like that goes through spring ball and sees that there is still an opening at Michigan. Hopefully they're aggressive in pursuing any options that might be available, because I think they could find a guy who can get them to 9 to 10 wins. But if we think that this, you know, if this defense is as good as we think it could be, if some of these skill players can be as good as we think they can be, I think the ceiling is much higher for this team with an established, proven starting quarterback. So, fellas, I think that's going to do it for us, unless we have any final thoughts.
Nope. Thanks, guys, for being here. Always a pleasure. And, yep, we'll be full staffed here for the rest of the year, with rare exception, maybe if one of us is on vacation. But, yep, I think we're all recovered now. We're all healthy and ready to go. Thanks to our producer, Megan, too.
I am the iron wall that viruses bash against and shatter. So yeah,
that is not me, unfortunately. So, well, but I have been taking more vitamins.
Stay hydrated, take your vitamins, and spring ball starts next week. So hopefully a lot more to talk about here in the coming weeks, maybe a running backs coach hire. Again, be sure to like and subscribe to the channel here on YouTube, also in your audio feeds, wherever you get your shows. Use that promo code UM1 to get 2 months of access for $1 over at thewolverine.com. And again, you see it right over my shoulder here. I don't know how to lean the right way. The National Championship edition of our magazine. Still plenty of copies available at our office if you missed a pre-order window. So for Chris Ballas, for Clayton Safey, I'm Anthony Broom. Thanks to everyone for watching. We'll talk to you again soon.